Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and last night I tried to make two different purchases online with a MasterCard, and both were denied. I called the card company and asked why, and they said they did not deny my transactions and could not figure out why the websites blocked my purchases. Little did I realize at the time that my failure to buy from iTunes and Amazon may have had something to do with WikiLeaks. It seems that pro-WikiLeaks hackers are now striking back at several companies, including MasterCard, that are denying Julian Assange service, Amazon, Visa, PayPal, others. And as I said before the news, it's not for failure to pay his bills. In fact, they're basically stopping people from giving money to him. We've heard on the show from many critics of Julian Assange over the last 10 days. Today we will hear from a supporter, Glenn Greenwald, who writes for Salon.com, among some other places. Hey, Glenn, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
I know you've been following the online front in the war between WikiLeaks and the governments he's blowing the secrets of. What's the latest just in terms of who's doing what today?
Well, as you alluded to, there is this group of hackers that calls itself Anonymous who threatened around 10 days ago to retaliate against any unfair treatment of WikiLeaks or Assange, in particular any attempts to exclude them from participating in the Internet. And so they've made good on that promise by, among other things, targeting today the website of the Swedish prosecutors who are prosecuting Assange on rape and sex-related charges. And most significantly, they took down MasterCard's entire website and interfered with many of their transactions, and I don't think that's yet been rectified. So obviously this is in response to Assange now being imprisoned, strangely without bail, and the other extra legal steps that the U.S. government has taken to essentially persecute WikiLeaks without bothering to charge them with the crime.
So I don't know if Assange broke any laws, but it sure sounds like these guys are breaking some laws, don't you think?
Well, I think that, well, clearly, if you take down the websites of private companies, you're breaking the law. But I think what they would say, and what I would say, is that the U.S. government itself is acting outside the law. They have pressured private companies to cut off funds for WikiLeaks, the access to their funds, including money that was donated by people around the world to help Julian Assange pay for his defense. There were very sophisticated attacks, denial of service attacks, launched at WikiLeaks that booted them offline and have kept them off the Internet, except in very hard-to-find and obscure places that every technology expert believes has come from some agency within some government somewhere. So if the U.S. government is waging war on WikiLeaks, or some other government is, or if they're pressuring companies to terminate relationships with WikiLeaks without having charged them with a crime, that, too, is extra-legal. And I think the argument of the hackers would be, if we're being attacked through extra-legal means, our only defense is to fight back using extra-legal means.
Do we know that this has happened? Has the U.S. government, which has not itself taken any legal action against Julian Assange, we have some politicians calling for it, but the government hasn't actually officially done anything. Do you know, can you name names or departments or anything else that are pressuring Amazon and other companies to cut off service to Julian Assange?
Yes, I can. PayPal, the CEO of PayPal this morning, when asked why it was that they froze his account and seized those funds, replied that he was told by the State Department that what WikiLeaks has been doing is illegal and that therefore the illegal activity is violative of PayPal's terms of service and they shouldn't be allowing PayPal to WikiLeaks to use their service. Joe Lieberman, who's the chairman of the Homeland Security Department Committee of the United States Senate, publicly announced that he insists that all companies terminate their relationships with WikiLeaks, and that shortly thereafter led to Amazon throwing them offline, as well as smaller companies out of fear when the federal government Homeland Security officials say what you're doing is essentially aiding and abetting terrorists. People are going to take that seriously. It's an intimidation tactic. It's a thuggish tactic, and it's designed to deter people from doing business with WikiLeaks and allowing them to function.
That's interesting. Interesting. did the PayPal CEO say what law he was told that Assange broke?
No, he didn't. And that's the point, is legal experts, no matter where they fall on the ideological spectrum, will say that it's extremely difficult to articulate any law that WikiLeaks or Assange has broken by virtue of publishing these documents. And it's not hard to see why that is. I mean, if you think about what has happened with these diplomatic cables, you know, lots of people have been claiming falsely that WikiLeaks dumped 250,000 cables onto their website. That's absolutely false. Right now on WikiLeaks' website, there are 960 cables published. Almost every one of them was first published by a major newspaper with whom they're partnering, whether it's the New York Times or The Guardian or Der Spiegel or El Pais from around the world. After that, WikiLeaks publishes the documents on its website and includes the redactions by the newspapers. So it is impossible for anybody to say, if they think that WikiLeaks ought to be prosecuted for publishing classified information, why it is that the New York Times and Guardian and El Pais and all these other newspapers, both now and many other on many other occasions, that publish the same classified information also aren't criminal. People who want WikiLeaks prosecuted are essentially calling for the criminalization of investigative journalism.
Listeners, we have a poll on our website. It's a thoroughly unscientific poll, of course, but it does ask the question, should these companies be cutting off service to Julian Assange? Should private internet companies like Amazon, PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa be denying service to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange? You can go to our politics website. It's afreecountry.org and answer no, he is paying all his bills, so this is none of their business, or yes, since he is suspected of other wrongdoing. At our politics website, it's afreecountry.org. And you can call in with it right now at 212-433-WNYC. When is enough enough when it comes to Julian Assange before he's been charged with any crimes in the United States? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Glenn Greenwald from Ceylon. Do you feel kind of isolated? Are you surprised how isolated you are in terms of people, you know, in the more progressive part of the media who are defending Julian Assange in the way you are? Are you surprised at how many, you know, otherwise sort of progressive commentators on foreign policy are just completely denouncing this guy?
Well, I think that's pretty overstated. I look around and I see places like The Atlantic, The Economist, the editors of El Pais, even The New York Times, who have been publishing articles that have been fairly supportive, if not emphatically supportive, of what WikiLeaks is doing and what Julian Assange is doing. But the fact that progressives are mimicking the position of the United States government when there's a Democrat in control of that government is completely unsurprising. I mean, I've spent 2 years now writing about how Barack Obama has adopted one policy after the next to supposedly in the name of combating terrorism, which were policies that when George Bush and Dick Cheney embraced them caused enormous amounts of anger among progressives and Democrats universally. But the minute a Democratic president started adopting those policies, suddenly that anger died down and actually in many cases transformed itself into support. So here you have Barack Obama presiding over a government declaring WikiLeaks an enemy of the United States, it's anything but surprising that lots of Democrats and progressives are marching in lockstep behind that, but it's by no means universal. I everywhere I look, I see people defending WikiLeaks, as including someone who's a hero of progressives, whose name is Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers
right.
in 1971, who says that Julian Assange is his hero and is doing what he did back then.
Right. And funny enough, many of the liberal and progressive foreign policy critics who have soured on Assange say he's no Daniel Ellsberg, that he's not a whistleblower, he's not a journalist. They say if he, like Daniel Ellsberg, and the Pentagon Papers, or you know, or the Times and the warrantless wiretapping stories, was exposing secret evidence of specific wrongdoing, that would be one thing. This is just indiscriminate making public of everything private, as
okay,
a Klein put it. Do you disagree?
First of all, yeah. first of all, as I just said, anyone who is saying what you just described is lying. And the reason I say that, and I use that word advisedly, is because this is not an indiscriminate disclosure. They have 251,700 diplomatic cables in their possession. Although many media figures have gone on television and lied and said that they've dumped 250,000 cables indiscriminately, that is false. They have published only carefully selected ones, 900 of them, that were pre-selected by their media partners, including the redactions. So anyone who claims that there's indiscriminate disclosure going on either doesn't know what they're talking about or is deliberately misleading people. Secondly, I can spend the rest of your show, although I know I don't have the time, detailing the extreme levels of corruption, deceit, and criminality that these documents released by WikiLeaks have revealed for the first time. You know, just a couple of examples. I mean, there were documents showing that the U.S. military formally adopted a policy of turning a blind eye to the systemic torture and human rights abuses perpetrated by the Iraqi army under our noses. There were 15,000 civilians, innocent civilians, killed in that war that we previously didn't know about. In these diplomatic cables, it reveals that the State Department has bullied Germany and Spain out of investigating the torture of its own citizens and the deaths of its own citizens, that Britain is protecting the United States in the investigation it's undertaking, that Hillary Clinton ordered State Department officials to spy on the UN in violation of the Vienna Treaty of 1961. On and on and on, one level of deceit and corruption and illegality after the next that we did not know about but now do know about solely because of WikiLeaks. That is pure whistleblowing of the type that Daniel Ellsberg engaged in, and that's why he says, Daniel Ellsberg says, that what they're doing is exactly what he's doing and that he considers them heroic.
Did he not cross a line this week, in your opinion, with his release of that list of critical infrastructure sites to the United States, which critics are calling a terrorist to-do list, and then his threat to release more documents if he was put in jail, which would not be transparency, that would be selective withholding as blackmail. Those are two separate things. What about the list of critical infrastructure sites, which doesn't seem to expose any kind of wrongdoing, but just seems to say, here, Secretary of State Clinton, these are the things that are really crucial to the United States around the world in this cable, and Assange made it public?
Right. I'm not, you know, WikiLeaks has, it's 4 years old as an organization, and they're operating in completely uncharted territory. They've certainly made mistakes like everybody else, and they've released over a million documents now. Am I going to tell you that every document that was released should have been released? No. There are good arguments as to why some of them shouldn't have been. At the same time, there are literally millions of documents that should be released that the United States is corruptly and improperly marking secret. And so when you look at what the real problem is, excessive disclosure or excessive secrecy, it's clearly excessive secrecy. Having said that, take a look at that document that you just referenced. You know, every time there's a leak of classified information, every single time, the government says this document, by getting into the public, is going to severely endanger national security. That's what the government says about everything.
Right, but I'm not asking you about every document. I'm asking you about that document.
Right, okay, well, I'm answering you about that document. Take a look at that document. I mean, to make the claim that that document is some sort of extremely sensitive document that's going to jeopardize national security, I think, is silly. And the proof of that is there are varying levels of secrecy that the United States uses to protect certain documents. That document had the lowest level of secrecy. It was marked simply secret. That means that at least a million people and probably more around the world can access it. If that were truly a secret document, so sensitive that really protected all kinds of important secrets, it would be marked top secret or higher. I don't think there was much of a value in releasing it, but I think the idea that it somehow has exposed to the terrorists around the world all the different vulnerabilities that the United States has is exactly the kind of fear-mongering that we hear every time a document is released.
Glenn Greenwald from Salon, defending Julian Assange, my guest on WNYC, and Steve in West Orange on WNYC. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, Glenn.
Hi there.
So, hold on, let me switch phones here.
All right, and you know what? We're going to let you switch phones and then come back to you, and we're going to go to Sunny in Bushwick in the meantime. Hello, Sunny.
Hi. I cannot tell you how much I love, love, love your guest today. I feel like finally somebody is calling it as it is. When we start and begin to do things like what the credit card companies did to Julian, to Amazon and PayPal, that I personally wrote the CFO of Amazon yesterday saying, I will never ever purchase anything from you ever again, we start to tread on third world country policies, which is you speak out and the government, which should have nothing to do with these companies, begin to pressure them, like your guest said, illegally, to stop. I mean, that it just becomes like, where am I living? Like, what world are we living in right now? So I can't say how much I personally love that your speaker is speaking out against this.
Thank you, Sunny. And
can I just add one thing to that?
Sure.
What I would love for people to do, including you, Brian, and anyone listening, is just imagine if on this show today the government's listening and decides that there are things that you say or that one of your guests says that it doesn't like, that it thinks harms the national security of the United States, and then it starts calling your banks and telling your banks that it should freeze your funds because what you've done is illegal, and then it starts cutting off your credit cards and preventing people from donating to your station and removing you from the internet by contacting your service providers and telling them they shouldn't have anything to do with you, all informal, all just through pressuring tactics and bullying tactics. Is anyone going to argue, are you going to argue, that that is not a major threat to freedom of the press and First Amendment values? That is exactly what they're doing to WikiLeaks, notwithstanding the complete absence of any due process or finding of wrongdoing or criminality at all. And that's why the caller is absolutely right.
Isn't there a fundamental difference, though, between the government doing what you just described because they don't like something you or I said on the radio and the release of documents that have been officially classified as secret?
Well, first of all, if you think that's true, then just imagine that everything I just described was done to the New York Times, since the New York Times is publishing all of these cables. You know, the Bush administration constantly threatened newspapers. They threatened to prosecute the New York Times, its editors and reporters, when they unveiled the NSA wiretapping program. Conservatives threatened to prosecute Dana Priest of the Washington Post when she exposed the CIA black site. That's what investigative journalists do. They uncover government secrets and expose things that the government's trying to keep concealed. That's what WikiLeaks is doing. It's a pure journalistic function.
Michael in Park Slope may beg to differ. Michael, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I can't believe that your guest is conflating so many issues. I mean, what WikiLeaks is doing might be creating a resource for journalism, but they are not following a single story. So I don't see how you can call that journalism. They're just releasing documents. And to say that, oh, well, they didn't release everything they had, still doesn't qualify that as journalism. You know, they're just throwing out what they've got and, you know, leaving it up to maybe journalists to then make sense of it. But to justify that as somehow journalism in and of itself makes no sense. And then I agree with what you just said about, you know, the distinction between releasing secret documents and stating an opinion on a radio show and assuming that the government should treat both the same way or somehow, you know, trying to, you know, use like that as an example of the government, you know, somehow cracking down on our freedoms is just such an exaggeration.
But Michael, there are times that classified documents would be released exposing something that you would cheer for the journalists and you would stand up and say this is an outrage if the government tried to prosecute them for it. Aren't there?
Daniel Ellsberg is one of my absolute heroes. I'm actually surprised to hear that he looks up to Assange so much, because it seems to me what he did and what Assange did are almost polar opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of, okay, they both released secret documents, yes, and I think the similarities stop there. And I don't see a single thing that Assange has done that in any way gets to, you know, the level of what the Pentagon Papers were uncovering. And, you know, previously your guest also said that, you know, WikiLeaks released all these, you know, great revelations. Well, the fact that the Iraqi army is abusive and the fact that America is using its power to try and sway other countries, you know, it's like if you read a newspaper in the last 10 years, you would have known all these things anyway. I don't see any revelations here at all. It just sort of maybe confirms things, but I don't see a single new piece of information,
much less
a controversy or a scandal like, you know, what was going on during the Vietnam War. I haven't seen it.
Michael, thank you for your call. And Glenn, you can respond to any part of that you want, but I'd be very curious to hear what you think is new here that are some of the most important things that have been released. I think you talked about one of them before.
Right. Well, I just want to correct the caller on one factually false claim, which is that WikiLeaks just dumps the documents and doesn't pursue the stories. They actually write articles, and they're on their website. They issue commentary and editorials all the time about virtually everything that they release. And so they perform all of the functions that newspapers perform, including following up with interviews like they did when they released the Iraq video. But, I mentioned numerous revelations mm-hmm. of these documents. I'll just run through some additional ones as well. As I said, there's a document in which Hillary Clinton ordered State Department officials to gather information about UN officials to spy on the UN, including gathering their emails, passwords, and biometric data, which is a violation of the Vienna Treaty of 1961, which the U.S. Constitution makes the law of the United States, that is an illegal act by the U.S. government. There's a document that details how U.S. diplomats met with the president of Yemen and discussed airstrikes that had taken place in Yemen that killed numerous civilians. Both the U.S. government and the Yemeni president told each of their respective citizenries that it was not the United States who did those bombings, but in fact it was just Yemen, and the United States simply supplied them with the weapons. These documents reveal that those two governments lied to their citizenries, that it was the United States that actually launched the attacks. There's another document showing that at the exact time when the Obama administration was telling everyone, including its own citizens, that the change of government in Honduras was a legal act or that they were unable to reach a conclusion, internally they had concluded that in fact it was a coup, that the left-wing president of Honduras had been removed illegally, and they didn't want anyone to know that because that would have triggered all sorts of sanctions that they wanted to avoid. The fact that it isn't just, as the caller just said, that it's merely that the Iraqi army engaged in some abuse. That's not what the revelation is. The revelation is that there was a formal policy on the part of the U.S. military purposely not to investigate any abuses. If they were told about abuses or if they saw them, they would write them down, but they wouldn't investigate and they wouldn't try to stop them. Completely the opposite of what we said we were in Iraq to do, which was to end human rights abuses and bring freedom to the Iraqi people. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I could go on for hours. The reason why people think there are no revelations here is either because the media keeps saying there aren't, or because when people hear atrocious things like I just described, or deceitful things like I just described that the United States government is doing, they don't really think that they're anything bad. They hear these things and think we should be doing those things, and so they think there's nothing there. But the reality is that there are numerous things these documents have revealed that were not previously known before and were not reported before.
Let me get one more caller in here, and it's to go back to Steve in West Orange, who we had a bad connection with earlier. Steve, are you there?
Good morning, Brian.
Hi.
Well, I would love to be able to send money to Julian Assange, but my MasterCard's not going to let me do that. I don't know about American Express, but it seems to me as though somebody who reveals collusion, spying, lying, deceit, all the kinds of acts that we've seen governments, especially our own, classify as secret for years, deserves our applause. We want to know what our government's doing. We want to know what our tax dollars are going for. And it seems to me as though Julian Assange has helped that. Has he had some errors in judgment? Yeah, I think so. Perhaps the release of the sites that could inflict major damage was one. But on the whole, it seems to me as though showing the shooting down of the journalists in Iraq, those kinds of things are things that the citizens ought to understand about what war and what these conflicts mean.
Steve, thank you. What about that threat to release more documents if he was arrested or put in jail, Glenn?
Well, right. That wasn't actually the threat. I mean, he has been arrested. He is in jail, and
yes,
that document is not being released. What the threat actually was, as anybody who's been paying attention to the United States for the last decade knows, the United States, when it decides that it wants to arrest somebody or kill them, pays no attention whatsoever to legal constraints or niceties. We put people in cages at Guantanamo and elsewhere around the world without even a pretense of due process or charging them with the crime. We simply declare them enemy combatants, and then they disappear. We have the United States government has hit lists, even of American citizens, that the CIA is ordered and authorized to kill based on nothing more than the president's say-so. And so what WikiLeaks and Assange were worried about was that they were going, not that they would be prosecuted and given due process in a court with lawyers and all the norms of Western justice, they were worried that the United States would target Assange with the kinds of extra-legal, really extrajudicial and illegal targeting that we've subjected so many other people around the world to over the last decade. And the threat was, if you attack attack me or kill me without any form of legal authority, I'm not going to sit there and simply meekly submit to your actions. I have my own level of protection that I intend to use if that's something that you intend to do.
So you're saying that the threat was about that, at that level, not about being arrested on these rape charges or anything else?
Right. I mean, he's been arrested on the rape
right.
charges.
Well,
there was
an
arrest warrant, and there's no
the threat
not
came
being
before.
Released.
Yeah. So, last thing, do you think that these internet companies could be breaking the law by singling him out for denial of service?
I don't think they're breaking the law. I think that when you enter into an account, you agree to a set of terms that's basically a contract. And so if PayPal, for example, is taking his $45,000, or the Swiss bank is freezing his $70,000 in violation of the agreements that he subjected himself to when he signed up, he could certainly be sued. I don't think there's anything criminal about it, but there's certainly civil remedies that I think WikiLeaks right now is pursuing.
Glenn Greenwald from Salon.com, author of Great American Hypocrites, Toppling the Big Myths of Republican Politics, former civil rights litigator in New York. Thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And again, listeners, we have our thoroughly unscientific poll on our politics website. It's a free country. Should private internet companies like Amazon, PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa be denying service to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange? Go answer yes or no at itsafreecountry.org. And coming up next, Chinatown divided over whether to have a business improvement district. And then in a few minutes, we will do a call-in and live online chat on your new normal in the Great Recession economy. We have a great ride-along guest for our on-air and online chat, Adam Davidson from NPR's Planet Money team. So get ready to log on. We'll do the log-on portion at 12 o'clock for the online chat, Your New Normal in the Great Recession, with Adam Davidson from NPR's Planet Money team. Stay with us.